We're going to get started. Headache music, whatever. You would hate to listen to what I actually listen to, because that's soft. You guys need to appreciate today, because I'm making this video instead of watching Dropkick on YouTube. I'll watch it later. But as you can see, that's what my tattoos are. I'm a big Dropkick guy. Anyway, oh boy. My name is Steve. This show is called Freight Broker Live. We're coming at you live. It's late. It's 8:01. We'll go for about an hour until I get tired. Whatever. It is March 17th, Tuesday. Today's been another big day in transportation news, especially as it relates to the coronavirus and COVID-19, whatever you want to call it. It is what it is. So I'm going to talk about a bunch of the articles I wrote today. We're going to talk about what the future has in store for truckers. And again, this is an opinionated show, so I have my opinions about things. You guys may have a difference in opinion. Whatever the case may be, that is fine. I'm pretty emotional right now when it comes to logistics and when it comes to the state of our market and what's going to possibly happen and what the future actually holds for people. When you look at the market and you look at different factors, it's a little bit frightening, to be honest. So the first thing I'm going to do is just give an update on the death count. As you guys could see, this is on my website. It is the John Hopkins map that everyone has referenced, every single news site and everybody. I put this on my website so you guys could all see. If you go to freightbrokerlife.com, you should be able to see it. We have a total confirmed case of 197,168. Total deaths worldwide are 7,905. United States hit some new thresholds today. Thresholds, 6,421 total confirmed and 108 deaths. So it keeps going up. We all knew it was going to. They said it's going to. I don't like seeing it, to be completely honest. It's not something I like seeing. It's frightening. And what's more frightening than that is the way that the government is responding to these things, and not necessarily the federal government. I'm more talking about local governments, and specifically Pennsylvania. As you guys know, I wrote a piece this morning on my website about Pennsylvania making the decision to close all their rest stops and their service stations. And again, after, you know, the news first came out, Pennsylvania then changed and said the service stations will be open for parking, but the highways and rest stops throughout the state are all closed. That is a big deal for trucking. But they're like, oh, there's light at the end of the tunnel. From now on, we're not accepting cash at tolls. Well, they didn't just do what you would think they would do, especially in a time of economic crisis like it is, where they would suspend tolls and just have it so you just go through. No, now they'll just bill you for when you go, if I understood it correct. I'm pretty sure that's how it went. But they've essentially shut down all their rest stops. And new tonight, I haven't put out an article yet, but a lot of people are starting to say that the state police in Pennsylvania and county police are also enforcing entrance and exit ramp parking for trucks. Where the hell are trucks supposed to park? The government gave all these hours of service exemptions for anyone who's participating in relief, but we're not letting them park anywhere. It doesn't make any sense. As I commented on LinkedIn, when people were commenting on my post, they just made this trip so much longer for drivers. It's almost like, okay, we have a chance as truck drivers and as you know, I'm a broker now, but we have a chance as logistics to collectively to prove, hey, hours of service are bogus. Let's try to figure out a way that we can prove to everybody that we don't need the hours the way we are. And then the state of Pennsylvania comes out and says, well, we're going to change your hours so you can drive as much as you want, but we're going to close our rest areas. So when you feel like you need to sleep, you're going to have to keep driving because we're not going to let you park. By far one of the stupidest choices I've ever seen. And they've got a lot of flack from it. The article that I wrote, it's been shared out a ton of times. A bunch of other media outlets and blogs and things all put out articles about it. There was all this confusion yesterday and today on whether or not, hold on, this is getting all tangled, on whether or not you know, truck stops were shutting down showers. And I fed into that because I did get reports about truck stops, you know, shutting down their showers, shutting down restrooms. There's Poncho Gray said, we just finally had our first confirmed case here in West Virginia. And just like that, everyone realized we're a state. Stores almost immediately packed in my area. Be smart, people. There's no smart left in this thing. I mean, think about it. The way that the whole thing is handled, I can only speak to the logistics of it. If you look at ordering and you look at preparedness, we weren't ready. And you can't forecast anything like this is going to happen, but we definitely weren't ready at all for any of this. And we feel it in logistics, and we feel it. Look at the stores. They can't even keep enough stuff in stock. I haven't gone to the stores today. Didn't really do anything. I did go to the gym, and then I went and bought more chew because I'm chewing through too much now, and alcohol for my wife. But that's it. It's weird. You know, but back to the truck stop thing, everyone was reporting that these trucks have, here's the thing. There's a trade organization. I talked about it yesterday. I'm not going to talk about it too much today. They don't listen to the show. They're above it. But they, there's such a joke, you know, they sent all these letters and I'm starting to figure out how it works. People send all these letters out to try to get a reply. And even if they don't get a reply, they send a letter right before, obviously, like, for example, the FMCSA. So all these truck stops, there are reports everywhere of truck stops closing down showers, closing down restaurants. Drivers weren't able to get food, that the instructions from the state level didn't mesh with the truck stops. And so they were closing down the restaurants and only serving through drive-through. Clearly, a 13-foot semi can't get through a drive-through, a normal drive-through. Drivers were getting turned away from like outside McDonald's that weren't at truck stops, but they were trying to go in and get order breakfast this morning. There were 10 drivers that were turned around at a McDonald's because you couldn't go in and order food, and they were not, their policies don't allow anybody to go in or walk up to the drive-thru, which is a complete idiocy, if you ask me. Allow truck drivers to walk to the damn drive-thru to get a meal. They're going to pay for it. It's not like they're saying, give it to me for free. But it just seems like some private establishments are not doing that. We, myself and other people, women in trucking, jumped on Love's this morning or yesterday. I don't even remember when it was, about there were reports that Love's had shut down a couple of states and were not offering public restrooms to people. I got to give it to Love's. They've responded back and they're like, no. Other people, you know, commented that, oh, we just were at this place and the showers weren't working. Love's, within an hour or two, replied back to the tweet and said, no, we just called them. They're having water issues. Everything should be up relatively soon. We'll keep you appraised. Let us know if there's any other places. So I got to give it to Love's truck stops. They seem to be really going out of their way to accommodate drivers the best that they can. I understand drivers. You can't go in. I understand. You can't go in and get a meal. It sucks. Do I think it's right? Absolutely not. You know, a driver doesn't want to. I know from when I drove, I would want to get out of the truck, sit down, stretch my legs, get out, eat something, people watch, do whatever, just to break the monotony of being in a truck. Now that we're truckers in the trucking industry is under this immense pressure to fulfill what we all know we can do and what the government clearly knows they can do by limiting hours or by removing the hours of service limitations on certain freight. Nobody, it just seems like truckers are being forgotten. I don't know. Yesterday I was super pissed off about it, as you guys watch from my video. I was also pissed off about the representation. I got to say, a lot of these trade organizations did go to bat. It wasn't national organizations that seemed to do it. It was the little ones, the little organizations that seemed to fight. But here's one of the interesting things. So the FMCSA was getting tweeted all day long. There was so much pressure. I called them, other media organizations called them to say, hey, listen, truck stops are not providing enough resources. What happens if truck stops close down? What happens if they don't get enough employees to staff and they close down? What happens to the trucks that you are now putting all this additional pressure on to haul relief goods, what happens to all those guys? It's and the FMCSA finally did reply. They actually sent a letter that I obtained through however I obtained it. But Jim Mullen, who's the acting administrator for the FMCSA, he sent a letter to Lisa Mullings, who is the president and chief executive officer of National Association of Truck Stops. And if you guys haven't read this, you guys got to check it out because it's a good letter. It's on my website. It's my leading article right now. It's the newest one. I'm losing my voice, man. I've talked to so many drivers. We got big layoff announcements too. I'm losing my voice, man. This is one of the most stressful days I've had in trucking. And it's just because I'm covering the stuff. I'm not even driving a truck anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not brokering a bunch of freight. I'm not doing any of that stuff. I'm listening to the crap. Oh, and Joe Biden won Florida. Big deal. Half the people in Florida are all hiding in their house right now because they think the world's going to end. News. Sorry, I'm not getting political. Sorry for anyone who doesn't want to hear that. But I live in Florida, so I just got some alert. I'm assuming I'll get 3 other alerts today or during this broadcast, depending on when the election's closed, the primary's closed, whatever. So this guy, Jim Mullen, he's the acting administrator for the FMCSA. He sent a letter, and I'm going to put this on the screen, and you can read a bunch of this. So, dear Mrs. Mullings, again, she is the president of the National Association of Truck Stop Operators. As the nation comes to grips with the realities of COVID-19, I'm writing to let you know that the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration recognizes the integral role travel centers and truck stops play in the nation's supply chain. Kind of a, you know, whatever. No shit, right? Anyway, oh, God. All of your members must heed the CDC guidelines and follow state and local restrictions. In the coming weeks and months, it will be critical that these businesses remain open 24 hours a day, providing America's truck drivers with fuel, food, showers, repair services, and opportunities to rest. The continuing operation of America's truck stops will enable truck drivers to confidently transport essential goods such as food, medical supplies throughout the country. Please let us know if we can help, blah, blah, blah. So there was one trade organization that said this letter was sent down directly, or it was because of our email that we sent addressing these, you know, the same concerns, which is complete bullshit. Bull, whatever. But the only thing that matters is now the truck stops know, hey, listen, the FMCSA, we need us to stay open. Kind of common sense. You would think that people would understand that, but apparently not. You know, it's just sad. I mean, if you look at what's going on in trucking and you look at the divisiveness between truck drivers and brokers and all these other things and all these people, and it's just sad. It's just sad. Just like I said yesterday, it's super sad that we can't just work together. You know, the hours of service have been pulled so that truck drivers are able to go and move freight and just get this freight to where it needs to go. And then you got boneheads saying, let's shut down. You got other people saying, I'm just going to, you know, stop driving. I'm just going to go home. This is, you know, the world's ending, blah, blah, blah. And then you have truck stops that just don't have the resource. Damn, drivers are stealing toilet paper and hand sanitizer from truck stops. That's from Loves too. And TA and Petro and all of them, they're doing that. They're stealing toilet paper. They're stealing. I mean, this is why we can't have nice things. Everyone's heard that comment before. This is why we can't have nice things, because people want to take advantage of stuff and then complain about it when the privilege is taken away. You know, it's probably the same people that go in after stealing all the toilet paper that go on social media and be like, the Loves in Phoenix, Arizona didn't have any toilet paper. Oh my God, let's strike. Right after they stole. I don't know, but that's all I can say. It just doesn't make any sense. We need to stick together. And I'm a broker now, used to be a fleet owner, used to be a truck driver, and I'm not talking about just carriers. I'm talking about brokers as well. There's so many reports of carriers asking for, you know, big money. It's a time of need, whatever, I get it. And then brokers that are still being relatively cheap, and they say it's because customers and blah, blah, blah. You know, a broker has a lot of play in dictating what kind of rates, depending on what the circumstances are. You know, but the spot market's high. There's a tremendous amount of load volume for now. It's not going to last forever. This I'm not going to go into hypotheticals on how long I think it's going to last, but I don't think it's going to last much longer. I mean, if you think about simple economics, it's supply and demand. If people aren't going out and purchasing anything because stores are closed, guess what? Demand is down. Therefore, there's no need for all this immense capacity and supply and all this stuff. It's, I don't know. I'm just very, I'm nervous. I'm very nervous about the way the future, how the future is going to be. I'm going to put up my phone number. I'm going to not type it in chat. Actually, I'll type it once in chat. And if someone could just write it and just throw it up every now and then, that would be extremely helpful to me because apparently people said they couldn't see it scrolling. So it's up there. If you guys want to call in, you can call in. And I will go through some of these comments. The only thing I ask is that you kind of keep it PC. I don't care if you drop, a curse word or something, but just don't be stupid, and make it easy for me. All right. So one of the other stories I wrote about was logistics layoffs. So I had a bunch of employees from TQL, ex-employees rather, from TQL who all called me and said they all got laid off, several of them. And when I wrote the article, I had 3. And now I've had about 15. That have seen the article and they say, because in the article, if you guys didn't see it, this is going to happen because I put some facts down at the bottom of the article, which is right here on my website. It's logistics firms announce layoffs as they deal with COVID-19 restrictions. If the article opens up. So which it did here. Down at the bottom of the article, I put a whole bunch of information, some facts. According to a survey by NPR, 18% of adults reported that they've been laid off or their work hours have been cut. The proportion affected grew for lower income households, with 25% of those making less than $50,000 a year reporting they've been let go or had their hours reduced. According to a survey of business owners conducted March 7th through 13th, investment bank UBS, some 24% of employers plan to downsize if the outbreak worsens. Now, this survey was completed on the 13th. This outbreak went to all new heights on Monday. It started getting very busy on Thursday night. Friday got really crazy. Over the weekend, it got super crazy. Yesterday, we all know half the country damn shut down and locked down people and curfews and restaurants and bars closed and all this stuff is gone on. It's crazy. But, this article was in reference to essentially mass layoffs from TQL. And I know I'm going to piss some people off, but you got to remember I'm a business owner. I have a business mentality. So TQL, apparently they've had some employees that have already been working remote, especially in Ohio because of, the outbreak. They have some working, or actually I think one of their Kentucky offices was working remote because I heard one of their employees tested positive for the coronavirus, which it's going to happen. We're all going to know somebody that has this thing. So that's not a big deal, but I got a call earlier today and it's like, hey, I just got laid off. And I'm like, all right, well, that's to be expected. And then he told me by who. And I was like, okay, well, that's a bigger deal. And then he used the term mass layoffs. And I called my source and I tried to get some more information about it. He said it wasn't mass layoffs. It was a small group of people. He said less than 100. They were not, productive people. They weren't, being very productive. And that's why they were cut. They were all sales guys. That's what it is. People that, and from a business standpoint, if you have a non-productive person and then you tell them, hey, go ahead and work from your house where we don't have direct supervision over you, you're just going to be spending money and you can't guarantee work, which is. So I understand from a business standpoint why TQL decided to cut employees rather than just having them work from home. Is it right in a time where no one can go out and get another job because everything is shut down? Absolutely not. And then come to find out after the story goes out, there's been a whole pile more people that contacted me. And apparently, my internal source said, it was roughly 100, less than 100 people that were laid off company-wide. Now, this is a company of 5,500 employees. 100 people isn't a really big deal. When you look at it from a big scale, when you look at it from a close scale, you just laid off people when we have no idea what the hell is going to happen in the future. We don't know how long we're going to be locked down or not. We're not locked down, but you guys know what I mean. How long life is going to be turned upside down. It's from a personal standpoint, horrible, horrible. From a business standpoint, completely get it. Marriott today laid off tens of thousands of people. Furloughed is what they call, because they'll recall them back once this thing is over, when it's finally over. You know, Fredo's, the tech company that does all the international stuff, they laid off 50 people. Someone in the comments here said the oil fields are laying off people. I've got insight that an LTL carrier has laid off quite a few drivers as well. I can't print it because I have to wait till I verify it or get some sort of official comment. More Amazon layoffs too. There's a company that laid off a bunch of employees in Florida. Excuse me. They laid off a bunch of employees in Florida. And here's the kicker. I already talked to them. I already knew. I talked to them a long time ago when I was writing the article about Amazon's purge, you know, contractor purge, the big viral article I did a while ago. This company called me and said, hey, listen, we're going to do it too, but we just don't know when. I said, how many trucks you have? And they're like, 900. I'm like, oh, crap. So they apparently let go some, but I'm not putting it to press because I don't know what they're doing with the rest of them. And I don't want to, you know, spawn some big, huge freak out if they're trying to find jobs or find new business for all these other trucks. And with my view on logistics right now, like right now, the immediate future of transportation, I think we're all effed, to be completely honest. That's not a good thing. I know. Everyone's like, oh my God, this guy is like the super optimistic person. Always see a light at the end of the tunnel. I do. I just think it's going to be a really windy, scary tunnel full of, you know, no lights and mucky crap all over the place, because it's not going to be good. Ports are laying off people as well. You heard 1,150 in the LA area. That makes sense. TQL raised rates to $1.25 a mile. Yeah. No, they laid people off because here's the thing. You can't congregate. So all these logistics firms, we're going to hear about it immensely. It's going to be crazy. All these logistics firms are sending their employees to work from home. If you've ever employed anybody at all, especially anybody that's worked remote, which I have, I've been a business owner and I had remote employees. You can't manage or micromanage, as I like to do. You can't micromanage them. You can't. Because especially if they're already classed as not productive, which is what I was told. I didn't print that because I think that's BS. It's just an excuse to fire people. But I was told they were lower producing people, and that's why they were terminated. You know, and they were told specifically, if you file unemployment, we won't contest it. They didn't get paid any severance. They lost their job in a time where you can't go out and just get another job. Not to mention the non-competes that TQL does with everybody. So you can't go out and get another job in logistics. I talked to one guy who was so upset that he was let go. And he's like, man, I've only been doing this for like 5 or 6 months. He's like, I love this job. He's like, I love logistics. He's like, the way you talk about it in your videos, he's like, that's how I feel. I think it's one of the coolest things ever. When I book a load and I have a driver that takes it, I love this. You know, I love it. And then I remind him he can't go work anywhere else. You know what TQL should do? And maybe if anyone's watching this from TQL or it gets shared to TQL, release everyone that you laid off today from their non-compete and give them a chance to go out and work with someone else. But the thing about TQL is they enforce that non-compete like crazy. So if any of these laid off drivers go, or a laid off carrier sales guy go to try to work for a different brokerage that may have an opening, they can't do it. TQL comes after those companies. Look up TQL lawsuit. There's hundreds of them, you know, and I get why they do it. I've made shows about it before. It's, you know, you're training people from the ground up. But you just laid off people in a time where you can't go out and get another job. I talked to one guy that said he's been there just about a year. And he's like, that the whole, you know, low producing or low whatever I was, you know, whatever the term they tried to use. He's like, that doesn't make any sense. He's like, I'm one of the highest producing people in my office. And he's like, and they let me go. And I said, well, you know, I heard it was a lot of new people and because of training and you're still in your training phases. And he goes, no, they called in people that were already working remote that had been there for 2 or 3 years and laid them off. you know, there's some confusion because I said laid off. The reason I said laid off is because every single person that I talked to said that they had the option to, or that they would be eligible for rehire at some point. So that's why I say lay off instead of terminated. I know in the article I said both, and there's a reason I did it. I know I got some flack on that, but you know, it's crazy. Kevin Donnelly said, why can't the agents that got laid off just work from home? Well, that was a plan. But again, it has to deal with productivity. If you got someone that is a low producer in an office, what are they going to do when they go home and they got kids and stuff running around? I had training seminars scheduled for this week during the day. I had to cancel them. Why? Because I got a wife and two kids that run around like maniacs all day long, you know? And I don't blame them. We're stuck in the house. You know, they go play outside or maybe they'll go to the beach before they shut down the beach completely. You know, that's what Florida just did today. It said you can go to the beach, but you got to be in groups smaller than six and you got to be spaced out between each other. And the reason they did it is because they had all the boneheads on spring break yesterday that when they shut down everything, they just all went to the beach. And so they're, you got 10,000 people all crammed on a beach. Of course, the cops, you know, were all over the beach today, you know. But Kevin Donnelly, whatever, on Facebook, he asked, why can't the agents that got laid off work from home? Because as an employer, you can't verify that they're going to be productive. And so I understand that. From a business standpoint, I understand why companies have to lay people off. Because working from home, if you've never done it, it's a privilege. But it's not something that everyone can manage. Because it takes a lot of responsibility and a lot of time. And just like every other show has said, you literally have to get up, get dressed, take a shower, pretend you're going to work, have coffee, do all that stuff, and then start your job and treat it like a job, just even though you're working from home. But that's a lot easier said than done. And if you have a low producer, someone that they say was a low producer, there's nothing, you know, the thing about being in an office is you have all your other employees and other people to sit and try to dictate and say, hey, listen, you need to do better. Or if you have a question about something, you have an immediate reply. Whereas if you're working remotely, you got to do FaceTimes and all the Zoom conferences and call people. And it's not that easy. So I understand, again, from the business standpoint, it was just wrong because there's no other jobs. There's no jobs. You know, there's a bunch of comments here. Joey said he's specialized in RGN freight, so not dry van. I'm wondering if the volume really is up on goods. The volumes are up. They're up quite a bit. Everybody said that. But how long is it going to stay? I don't know. I don't think it's going to stay that long, to be honest, because I think the novelty of stockpiling toilet paper is going to run out. And then once that does, you know, there was a steel mill, like I talked about yesterday, that ended up closing because half of their workforce called out. If you know, this survey that I mentioned before, this UBS survey is accurate and says that 24% of employers plan to downsize, that's going to drastically affect manufacturing's output, especially if you don't have people going to buy anything. Because they're under quarantine, they're not going to go buy all this stuff or spend money on things if you know they're unsure of whether they're going to have a job, you know. So manufacturing is going to be cut. We're not going to have as much stuff to truck back and forth. I really don't know what I don't even know what tomorrow is going to look like. Tomorrow, the president could get pissed off because bars didn't close and he could order martial law everywhere. Not really. It's probably not going to happen. But maybe in New York City, they've already talked about that. You know, San Francisco, if you don't heed the warnings and stay in your house, you're subject to a misdemeanor crime. Like, it's insane. You know, here in Florida, the governor just shut down all bars and restaurants are open to 50% capacity, but they did say they're going to limit some of these infection areas. So like if there's an area that has a huge outbreak, then they're going to limit and maybe close them down. Other restaurants are takeout only. Other areas are takeout only nationwide. You know, there's a good report I saw. I don't remember who reported it, but they had set it up on the back end. So you use an app to order the food. You go to their back door. You pick it up. They got hand sanitizer right there. You're not actually making any contact. And just like someone said in the chat, McDonald's, most of those places all do the pickup stuff. So you could just pull in and order on your app or order on your app before you even get there. I think I'm getting McDonald's tomorrow. I miss McDonald's. Sorry. If you can't tell, I'm losing my voice pretty bad. I've literally been talking to people all day. You know, a lot of the stuff I talked about yesterday about the industry, and again, to me, the industry isn't just trucking. Well, yes, it is. But it doesn't, the stakeholders in trucking aren't just truckers. They're freight brokers as much as truckers hate to admit it. It's factoring companies. It's insurance providers. It's everybody, because everybody needs to work together. And what I was saying yesterday, and it made a big point, and I ended up getting a tremendous amount of emails about it afterwards, is this industry, our industry, trucking, does not have a voice, does not have a voice that is just neutral and doesn't give a shit about protecting one, you know, protecting trucks more than they, you know, protect brokers and actually just care about the industry. You know, today there was so much, I mean, I didn't see as much shutdown crap as I saw yesterday. I would like to say it's because of my video and that a bunch of people said, okay, we're not going to talk about shutdowns anymore because that's pointless. But there's still probably a bunch of boneheads out there that are like, hey, listen, America needs trucks, so let's shut down and show them how much they really need us. They already know they need you. That's why they released the hours of service or released you from hours of service. Now would be the time to say, hey, I'm going to go and prove that during this time when my restrictions are removed, I can be successful and I can do the job and show them that these restrictions aren't needed, at least not as much as they are now. And then have a voice that actually takes all this data afterwards and says, hey, look, you know, FMCSA, you wrote this letter to this truck stop thing during this crisis that we had. And you said, truckers are America's backbone and we have to protect America's truckers. So why don't you do that? You know, now that we're not in a time of crisis, don't start fighting truckers. Let's figure out a way so we could change hours of service so it works, you know, where we can make trucking in the industry better. And make brokers more accountable for, you know, the crappy brokers. I'm not talking about big brokers who try to make more money. And I'm talking about the accountability of little brokers who have no business brokering, screw everything up, ruin the industry, misquote stuff, steal carriers' money. And I'm also talking about the little carriers who have no business being a carrier, don't know how to fill out logs, never owned a company before. And then they come out here and they're super truckers. You guys remember that video I had about a month ago where I was talking to the driver and I'm like, hey, what's your cost to operate? And he's like 36 cents per mile because he didn't even know how to figure out his cost to operate. There needs to be some sort of guidance to prove that people deserve even to be in the industry. Again, just like working from home is a privilege, so is getting involved in trucking. You know, it's a privilege. You know, and I think people need to prove that they deserve that privilege because we have too many bad apples in it. We have too many representation. You don't know, like I'm like literally yelling right now, but my voice is gone. So just bear with me. Anyway, North Carolina shut down restaurants and bars as of 5 p.m. today. So did Florida. Rob Reamer said, idiots and selfish. And he said, but you could poop on the sidewalk in San Fran. Mike B said, my mom works for Jonathan Lulz, a major furniture manufacturer on the West Coast. And she said they are closing for at least 2 weeks. It's going to happen. It's going to drastically affect transportation. So yesterday I said, listen, what would make sense would be to try to stay close. It would try to stay close to, you know, your home base. You know, a couple hundred miles, maybe 1,000 miles at max, because you don't want to be halfway across the country if the state of California, because we all know it's completely possible with California, where if California just decides, hey, coronavirus is too serious, we're shutting down this whole thing. Nothing. Nobody in or out. It could happen. I mean, it's California after all. But I don't know. I'd be a little bit nervous. I'd be a little bit nervous about being too far away from my family and in a time like this. And not just because of some virus and not just because I may not be able to get a load. It's because people are crazy. I mean, think about it. People are nuts. And I wouldn't want to be so far away from my family. I can't, you know, protect them. All right. Let me read some of these other comments. Phone number is active, guys, if you want to call in. 914-803-4008. If you're driving, if you're on the road today, tell me what you saw. Call in. Have no fear. I'm not going to yell at you too much. Call in. I pay for this phone system, so call in. Mike Quaid said, I think that if they laid off, they couldn't enforce that. No, I don't know. That's an interesting way to look at it, too, but I don't think so. A lot of times they say, well, you have to offer severance, but that's also not true. TQL is notorious for being able to enforce their non-competes. You know, they're just good at it. There's so many comments. I don't even know. There's too many damn comments all over the place. Christy Imus said, I can't find any trucks less than $220 a mile. Well, because you shouldn't be paying less than $220 a mile right now. Doesn't even matter where you're going. Trucking's in demand. So as a freight broker, you owe it to truckers right now when we need them to turn and burn freight, to try to, you know, just have the trucks make money. Because I could tell you what's going to happen. If the shit keeps going the way it's going to go, we're going to have major issues. Trucks are not going to be moving. We're not going to have the kind of volume that we do now. We have a lot of volume. There's a lot of loads everywhere because everyone's trying to get freight out and try to do this. You guys read the article I wrote about Amazon today, right? Well, you didn't. Maybe you should go read it. But I wrote about Amazon. They are now only selectively taking in products. So they're only taking in hand soaps, pet supplies, baby, you know, necessities. That's all they're taking in. So all these individual shippers that are shipping in televisions and computers, all that, Amazon's not accepting it for the next month. Because they need space for all this inventory of all these critical products that they have to get out to everybody, that everyone's buying. That's going to have a big effect. You know, Amazon is starting to deliver these tests, apparently. I read some article there, you know. But Amazon, that's going to affect so many small businesses, too. So many sellers on Amazon that rely on that. You know, all these restrictive hours. That means products that don't necessarily sell as much or that don't sell in a time of crisis. When we have restricted hours at Walmarts and places, you're not able to go in and get what you need all the time. You know, half of the time you go in, the stuff is gone. The other half of the time, the store is going to be closed because they're deconning or restocking or whatever. You know, there's so many. Oh, it's really weird. It's a weird time in logistics for me. As someone that like just truly loves the industry and cares a lot about it, it's kind of interesting to watch all this and see the people and to see how they react. My other computer shut down. I didn't want it to. Because I do have an announcement. I gave a lot of thought about what I was talking about yesterday, last night, and I took some steps to implement it. because I'm serious. Trucking, this industry doesn't have an adequate voice, in my opinion. And am I like a soft, like smooth person? Nah. But, you know, I care about the industry. I guess that matters. All right. There's a lot of comments. Let me scroll all the way down to the bottom. Call in if you guys want. 914-803-4008. Poncho Gray asked, any news on petroleum transport? Are the refineries at full capacity? Haven't seen much talk regarding fuel delivery. Have no idea. Haven't paid attention to it, to be honest, right now. I'm more focused on the death and where the outbreaks are and how the immediacy of trucking, specifically my friends, I have friends that own small trucking companies. They're working hotshot. They're working flatbed. They're working step deck freight. I'm worried about a downturn in freight. I've talked to quite a few of them. They're like, do you think I should go get a van? And I'm like, no, I wouldn't go buy a van. I would just look for power only moves. You could find them. I'll help you find them, you know, in my little bit of spare time. But it's a lot of people are starting to worry. A lot of people have the right to worry. You know, they have to. Mike B said, my boy Facebook got some sweet shirts. Guess you're talking about, Freight Broker has some sweet shirts. Yeah, this is a powerlifting shirt. If you don't know, it's Sunshine State Games over there. I got a gold. Not a big deal. Actually, I got a gold and a silver and another gold and a silver and broke 4 state records. So what can I say? And that was my first powerlifting meet, by the way. Not that bad, right? Robert Bub Burge said, send me some TQL brokers to me. I might be able to arrange things. Yeah, but you're going to get sued as soon as they try to come after the non-compete. It'd be very curious. I'm very curious about what someone said. Would it be able to... Would you be able to break a non-compete? That's a question for a lawyer. If Cassandra Gaines is watching this, chime in, call in. If you're laid off, can you break a non-compete? Would that allow you to break a non-compete? If you are, I doubt it. I don't think it would, because you signed the non-compete when you were hired. You're not signing it when you're fired. You're signing it when you're hired. Half the time when you're fired, like one guy was fired over the phone. And I said, do you have like a company laptop or nothing? He's like, no, I'm working from home. They make us use our own equipment. So he has to use his own cell phone, his own, well, I guess his own computer. He probably has like a VoIP system like RingCentral or something like that to use. So it's crazy. 914-803-4008. Call in. Tell me about what the roads are like today. I've got 92 people watching this. I've got 55 on Facebook, 36 on YouTube. Someone call in. Tell me what it was like on the road today. Were you driving? If you're a broker, tell me what it was like. You move a lot of freight? You know, we got Andre Pala saying he's chiming in from Italy. What's up, buddy? I hope you're staying safe over there, because you have it far worse than we do. Right now, you have 31,000 confirmed cases in Italy. We're climbing. I mean, we have 6,400 confirmed cases, but that ain't 31,000. You know, it's crazy. I'm freaked out, to be honest, about logistics. I'm a little bit nervous about what the future holds and what the economy is going to do. You know, like I said, you know, Marriott's laid off tens of thousands, furloughed, as they like to say, tens of thousands of people. Las Vegas, all those MGM and all those, they're laying off tens of thousands of people. Manufacturing is laying off a bunch of people. Walmart distribution centers are slow getting freight out because half of their employees are calling in sick. Why? Because all the governors closed all the schools, so you have to stay home. It's a big thing. It's a big thing. It's a little bit unnerving, you know, if you think about what's going to actually happen in trucking, what the future has. It's very bleak, and I tried to watch, like, you know, competition news. Not really. I tried to watch Freight Waves because I'm not an analytical person. I consider myself to be a market expert in the segment, but I'm not an analyst or something. So I actually watched their show to see if they were going to give any forecasts on what we have to look for. They actually said the same thing. Who knows what this is going to happen? You can't forecast this kind of stuff. You know, it's crazy. It's truly crazy. You know who's profiting from this right now? All the teleconferencing providers, Zoom and RingCentral and all those other companies that have that technology. They're the ones who are doing well because everybody's using it. But I got a feeling we're going to lose a lot of people, you know. But, you know, when the new, I mean, they're, as I said yesterday, the president said this stuff is going to last for, how long did he say? Till July or August? Not that. And he clarified it today. He didn't say that we're all going to be locked up until July or August, or there's going to be all these constraints. But he believes that's when, you know, this virus will start fading away and it won't be like an everyday thing. And who knows? Who knows what it's actually going to be like? I certainly don't. You know, I hope it's just over sooner than later, because I don't like this. I don't like reporting on this stuff anymore. I don't like reporting on deaths. I don't like any of this stuff. Andrew Frank said, why is the government not looking at supplying all truckers with the tools to keep them safe from this virus? And truck stops don't have masks or gloves or anything to protect any of us, but they want us to roll and keep shelves full. Can you see how effed up this is? Yeah. And you know why they don't do it? Because people are too busy to say, oh my God, the truck stops are closing all the truck stops, and spreading fake news, specifically the SBTC. Okay, because I haven't been, they're the ones who are in my news. They're the ones who have a great platform, but choose not to use it. And I know I keep saying it and I keep harping on them, and I apologize. But, and for any of their followers or members and all that stuff, but they keep hyping up just small segments of the thing, you know. And I said that, I said, instead of worrying about, you know, whether a truck stop, even though it's been debunked that truck stops were not closing showers, that was wildly, you know, put out there yesterday. I sent a bunch of information to prove contrary. He still sends all these letters. And I said, why don't you talk and use your platform of 15,000 hypothetical members that you have to go to the government and say, listen, what are you guys going to do when the freight dries up? Because it's going to. What are you going to do for these guys that have all these big ass truck notes and super high insurance payments because nobody put a cap on it? What are you guys doing to help, you know, to care for the trucks? Because you guys are the ones that are going to be affected. Is a broker going to be affected? Yeah, maybe they'll lose a little bit, but brokers don't have operational expenses like carriers do. We have very small operational expenses. Truckers, you guys got trucks, you got insurance, you got supplies, you got time, you know, because time is an operational expense for you guys. And if that all comes to head, what do you do? You know, I suggested to him, I'm like, SBA is coming out with disaster loans. Send out a mass email to all your members and say, hey, listen, this is how you file for a disaster loan. Several states and counties are already set. So you can go in and file for very low interest disaster loans from the SBTC if you're a company owner. Nothing. He wants to send an email because, oh, McDonald's is the drivers have to walk to or drivers have to walk in and get their food. That's not very nice. Care about the industry. That's what I keep saying. It's to care about the industry. Where's my phone? And so because I've just decided that I'm upset. I've been in this industry for 15 years now, going on 16. If you ask my wife, it's 12. We have differences in how long I've been doing it. I've been doing it a long time. And I'm tired. I'm tired of people just being dumb. And so what I ended up doing is I'm setting up. Hold on. Let me find it. Social media is the virus that is destroying mankind, said Mike Quaid. I wouldn't disagree. Because there's so much fake news around the virus, you know? Kevin Donnelly said, fuel prices are coming down. I think this is good for the carrier and broker as well. No, because you know what happened when fuel comes down and stays down? This is a broker that's saying this to you. Carrier or customers start to realize, hey, fuel costs are down, therefore operational costs are down, therefore my rate is down. That is what happens. I know a lot of you guys think brokers are the ones who dictate rates all the time. That's not the way it works. Big Rig Radio Network said instead of giving a few dollars to the public, it would be better to give a couple of months of no payments until workers are able to go back to work. What's your thought on this? I completely agree. Make it so you can't evict anybody. Make it so there's no collections. Everything just pauses. You know, you're still going to need money to survive, but you pause everything. You know, so right now we're in a time of crisis. We're in a national state of emergency. Pause every single mortgage payment, rent payment, car payment, everything. When we finally get our shit together, activate it all again. And that would make the most sense instead of sending out individual checks. Because if anyone watched the press conference that I live streamed today, that's what they're talking about. Oh, we're going to send $1,000 check to every single adult male or every single adult. It's going to be so much identity theft and people getting 15 checks with all sorts of fake names. And all. I'm trying to find something on my phone. I'm not trying to look away from the camera. But yeah, it's crazy. Hey, have you guys ever heard of the North American Association of Transportation Service Providers? Well, me neither. So I created it. Because there's no voice. There's no voice in the industry. So I've decided that, hey, I don't necessarily need to be the voice, but I'm going to try to build something and let some people actually care about it. And so as soon as the filing is approved by the state, have the tax ID, building the website, that should be up tomorrow. We're going to have a voice in this industry, one way or the other. And I've tried to reconcile with people, and I've tried to get people to just do the right thing and talk and focus on the industry issues. Don't talk about whether, you know, especially if it's proven that it's not happening. Don't send all these emails and make up a big thing and then try to take credit for something that you damn well know you didn't do. That doesn't make any sense. Focus on the big thing, like what's going to happen in a week when we don't have as much freight to move and all these trucks are sitting all over the country without, you know, because we know a lot of truckers can't save money. They don't. I mean, that's what people were literally freaking out saying, I'm going to starve. because I'm going to starve. I can't walk into McDonald's and get a burger. I'm going to starve. Go get a loaf of bread from a damn grocery store and some peanut butter and jelly. Learn how to cook in your truck, you know? Oh, God. We have a caller. Let me pick this one up. What's up? You're on the air.
Hey, Steve.
What's up?
Yeah, man, you just want to know what it's like out here. I'm on day four of running the big boy truck. Big boy rules. And,
yeah.
The company I'm working with, they're running 200 to 300 trucks. So far, they ain't had no incidents, nothing. Running big boy rules.
I know. Go and, imagine.
You're talking.
Go figure.
Yeah, I know, right? And I'm hoping that once all this is over, I can slide you their information and maybe you can put together how many hours they actually did over service. But my 70-hour clock ran out on Saturday, and I'm still rolling.
Yeah.
I was calling to check in. You was asking about traffic on the road. I ran 40 pretty hard today, and it stayed pretty clear. I mean, it seems to be like vacation traffic. There's very few people out. I even hit Knoxville at 5 o'clock. And I didn't mean to, but I did. It was nothing. I mean, it was absolutely nothing. Just blow right on butt. I stopped at a McDonald's on a little side road, walked up to the drive-thru to try to get something. And, you know, they had that rule where you can't walk up. I kind of hung my head, started walking away. And some lady blowed the horn at me. She said, "What was you trying to get?" And I told her I was just trying to get something to eat so I can get back on the road. She said, "What did you want?" She drove up to the window. I tried to give that lady money. She handed me a bag of what I wanted in it. She said, "I love trucks. Go."
So, I mean, that's the way it should be. Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun. But, yeah, I mean, traffic's kind of light. There's a lot of campers on the road, it seems like. I guess they're headed for the hills. And
it could be.
You know, you still get fuel when you need to. And
I know. It's not. It's
you can get what you need.
Yeah. It's interesting.
I was calling to go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's interesting. It's interesting how we hear one thing and then we talk to, you know, drivers like you that have a different perspective. It's, you know, I know that people were like that. I thought about it's just sad. It's good to hear that people are still nice and people still care, you know, but you know damn well there's plenty of other people that would just drive right by. You could even ask, say, "Here's $20. Oh, yeah. I'm just trying to get food. They won't serve me. Can I get food?" And to be honest, the rules, they shouldn't be closing the walk-in. You close dine-in seating, but you should still be able to place an order inside according to every single regulation that I've read anywhere. So, you know, that's why
I did stop at another one that you could go inside. And the lady said that McDonald's had put down that in that state, you couldn't have more than 10 people inside the store at one time, including all the employees. And it was like 6 of them.
Yeah.
When it got to be like, one guy walked in behind me. She's like, "Oh no, I got too many people," and she didn't know what to do. And I'm like, "I'll step outside."
Make
your count go down.
No, yeah, but that's it's weird. It's weird.
People, the haters gonna hate. And the dude's calling for the shutdown. Probably just don't want to run anyway.
And I'm
just so glad that James Lamb put out that letter and got the president to drop that. Hours of service.
I know.
He does such a great job.
Oh God, he's so awesome.
he's great, man. He's so great. The damn Eagle wouldn't even drive his signature when it got passed. I mean, come on. Nobody's seen his letter.
Yeah, I know.
Have you tried to call the FMCSA? You sat on hold for half a damn day.
Yeah. No, I mean, he was getting replies. You can email the guy. Jim Mullen does reply. So, you know, the acting administrator, he does reply, but you know, it's just like taking credit. Like he was talking about how truck stops all over the place are not doing something. So I sent him an actual message of, you know, something I saw online, and he like took the message and made it seem like he got a reply directly from who I sent the message from. And I'm like, dude, come on, stop being annoying. But you know, it is what it is.
I did try to do what you were suggesting yesterday, and that's I reached out to the Ben Shapiro show and a couple other talk shows I listen to besides yours.
Yeah.
And about, because Ben Shapiro talks every day about how the, you know, stores are going to have stuff on the shelf and this, that, and another, and how stuff is still going to get around and stuff is still moving. But he never specifically mentions a truck driver. You know, he don't even mention the logistics industry. He just says
it's a given. Nobody does.
You know, there's, and And so I reached out, you know, I sent my email and tried to call and sit on hold. But, you know, if I can get somebody like Ben Shapiro to say, hey, thank you, truck drivers, that reaches millions. Instantly.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right. We got to get our voice out. And the only way to do it is just push.
It's just to do it.
My whole thing switched when you said, yep. My whole thing switched when you said your organization, your new organization name, what was it again?
Oh, shit. I don't remember. I got to look it up. North American Association of Transportation Service Providers.
NAATP?
Nice. NAATCP. Or TSP. Yeah. Whatever. I don't care. It was the only one. You know how many damn organizations there are? That was the only one that was available. I spent all day looking. So, well. Hey, thanks for calling in. Keep driving safe, all right, brother?
Big boy rules. Big boy rules.
Big boy rules. All right. Yeah, so, it's nice to hear that. It's not chivalry. I just like nice people. That there's just nice people. Los Angeles Times is reporting that it's likely that California schools will be closed for the rest of the year. Which... it's kind of the same for Florida. So Florida schools are pretty much going to be closed for the rest of the year. North American Association of Transportation Service Providers. That's it. And I already got the website too, naatsp.org. There's nothing on it yet. I haven't even built the website. But I'll put some landing page up there tomorrow. But... because we do need a voice. We do need people that actually want to go out and actually spread the right thing. I'm never going to advocate for a shutdown or none of that shit because that doesn't do anything. It paints trucking in a bad light. But are the principles behind shutdowns and all that stuff, are they spot on? Absolutely. The method of trying to protest is done. I'm not going to sit and advocate that a bunch of truckers sit there and throw up middle fingers. Because why? Because we have an industry to represent. That's what it is. That's what trucking is. We have an industry to represent. We're not just some outlaw truckers just want to run legal, do meth while we're driving trucks. Boop, boop. That's not what we're doing. North American Association of Transportation Service Providers is what it's called. Don't forget it. But yeah, it's because it's not going to just be for trucks. It'll be for brokers. It'll be for factoring. It'll be for insurance. Anybody who gives a crap about what the industry is like and doesn't like where it's going and wants to make it good. I have a vision about trucking. You know what I mean about the industry, and I label trucking as everything. So I label trucking as not just trucks on the road. You are like the foundation. It's like I talk about with anything. Everything starts with a foundation, and then you build on top of it. Without trucks, nothing else is there. So trucking is a foundation of the entire supply chain for me. And then you have freight brokers, and then you have insurance, and then you have everything else. Because if trucking's gone, so is everybody else. So. You know, and that's my opinion. Yeah, 914-803-4008. RD said, a shutdown would accomplish nothing. The only way to get anything done is to lobby Congress. And that is exactly right. And, you know, I've got plenty of family who would love for me to move up to Northern Virginia. I got to say that quietly so my wife doesn't hear, because that's where my family lives. And I have no problem getting in front of a bunch of politicians. In fact, if anyone really looked very hard, I've had some of that politics. I've been involved in politics. I just read Mike Quaid's message. He said, but not Hotshot, right? Those guys are jerks. Kidding. No, Hotshots. Everybody that's a true stakeholder, because that's the thing I hate, is when you have a meeting of industry stakeholders and you have leasing companies and you have associations and you have a couple of mega fleets, but you don't have any brokers. And to be honest, there's still industry stakeholders for a lot of people. You don't have small carriers or representation. You have OIDA, but I mean, that is what it is now. And I'm not harping on any of these associations. I think they all have different focuses. My focus is going to be, or what the focus of what I want is to just make trucking better. To make the whole industry better, to try to alleviate some of the headaches that people just seem to have all the time. And whatever. And if that includes, you know, paying politicians and doing all that stuff and passing new laws and being a spokesperson, even though I don't want to, really, it's not my thing. I like making videos, but I'm actually quite, you know, shy in person. Ask anybody who knows me. RD Trucking said, IDA is dropping the ball on all this. You know, and that's true because I haven't heard a single damn thing from them, to be honest. I follow them on Twitter. I haven't heard anything. Yes, I saw something. I think it's like thank truckers, blah, blah, blah. But I haven't heard anything. Even the guy that operates Big Rig Videos is part of the industry. He really shines bright for drivers. He's a good dude. Big Rig Radio Network. Yeah. I've been watching his videos undercover for a while. And then I talked to him on the phone or through email or something. But yeah, he is. He knows a segment of the industry, and that's how you put good people together. Nick Ray said, what is the state of transportation? Where is the trend going to be in a couple of weeks and beyond? That's all that really matters right now for owner ops. And see, this is the problem, is nobody knows. You can't forecast what's going to happen, because if you think about it, a week ago, yeah, were we talking about the coronavirus? Yes. Was it a big deal like it is now? No. We didn't have shutdowns. We didn't have hours of service, you know, being suspended. We didn't have these things to even think about. Now we do. And now we have to figure out the best way to get through to everything. Oh, no. BRRN is different than Big Rig Videos. I don't know. I've never seen Big Rig Videos, though. You know, to be honest, I watch a lot of news. I watch a lot of, you know, Senate hearings and stuff. I used to have an aspiration to be in politics. Actually held some appointed offices previously in county and state, or county and city government. But the trucking industry needs some work. Clear as day. We need some work. And, you know, ask James Lamb. If James Lamb asks, ask him how many times I've asked him just to take a different approach, just to tone it down a little bit and focus more on the actual needs of the drivers instead of patting his name up. I mean, that's what I did today. I said, don't focus on stuff that you could prove is not real. Focus on stuff that would actually benefit your constituents or your members. That's what I told him. And his response, you know what his response was? I'll show you guys, actually. No, I won't. That would be mean. I'm not going to do that. I could. I could show you the message or the chain, because I can't show you that message, because when I said that, he didn't reply. He just sent me some generic email that he was sending to somebody else. RD Trucking said he does videos on show trucks. Gotcha. Yeah, there's a lot of good people who would be very good spokespeople in the industry. And the problem is you have to be a spokesperson for the industry, just not a segment of the industry. And you have to care equally about every segment as well. You know, and I think that's one of the things I do. I don't enough, but I try to care about it. Let me see if we have anyone on hold. I switch my screen. I think my voice is about to give out, boys and girls. This may be over pretty soon. Let me go back and read some of these comments. Anyone wants to call in? I've got about 5 more minutes till this video is over. 914-803-4008. So to answer your question, Nick Ray, the state of transportation is dire right now. I have no idea what's going to happen in the near future. I couldn't even predict what's going to happen tomorrow. The only thing I could say for certain is that there'll still be trucks on the road. In terms of rates, whether the market will tank again, how many, you know, deaths will go up, whether people start panicking and defending themselves from imaginary zombie butterflies, nobody knows. That's the likelihood of that happening is the same thing as us trying to figure out what a week's going to be like from now. We could have a massive outbreak and half of the world calls in sick tomorrow and it shuts down everything just like that. Who knows? I have no idea. Couple of weeks and beyond, nobody knows, because we don't even know how long this shutdown is going to last. I know in Florida, we've extended it from 30 days. So it's 30 days from today. So what? April 15th is where they put the limitations on schools, bars, restaurants, public gatherings, and all that stuff. So if we have public gatherings of like San Francisco, I think has 10 max in a location. So what happens in office space is they all have to work remote because the offices are completely shut down because they sit next to each other because real estate is cheaper that way. You got manufacturing facilities, but now they have to go through like quarantines every single time they want to go into work and out of work. Everyone, you know, it's mandated now. We got to test employees. What is it? Uber, I think in New York City is done. Or no, Uber Pool. I'm sorry. Nationwide is done. It's crazy. So to answer your question, Nick Ray, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. State of transportation is effed right now. I know this is not what a lot of people want to hear because I know and I'm the optimistic one. I'm the one that's like, always look for the brighter side. Always look for the positive. You know what the only positive is we're truckers. We're going to make it. Is it going to suck? Are we going to have some hard times? Absolutely. But you know what you guys keep doing? And I'll keep doing the same damn thing. I'll put videos up every single day. I'm not behind the wheel anymore. But you guys keep driving, and I'll keep advocating for you the best that I can. You know, that's my the only thing I'll say to, you know, about it. Nick Ray said he has a week-long contract for next week, and hopefully it'll continue. As long as manufacturing continues, then your contract should. You know, who knows, man? Now is the time to take care of your customers, Chris Lewis says. True. I mean, customers are under a tremendous amount of pressure as well to get freight out and to move freight and to not blow their budget while they're going. Because you got to think the way that the freight that they're putting out has already been manufactured with a freight cost put in. So now if carriers are going back and asking double, triple what they actually wanted before, customers are going to have a hard time. And customers right now are trying to get as much freight as they can out. My voice is gone, boys and girls. I'm literally yelling. Yeah, so make sure you guys check out maybe tomorrow. I'm going to work on the website in the morning, put it up together. North American Association of Transportation Service Providers. It's got a ring to it too, doesn't it? Like, I got to think of a jingle for it because you guys know how I usually love to sing my intros when I have a voice, but I'll come up with that. But I'm not going to plug it as much as I want to, but here's one. D Triel LLC on YouTube said, yes, cook in your truck, LOL. Well, here's the thing. When I drove, I cooked in my truck. I had a microwave in my truck, and I had a big plastic bowl, and I had gallons of water, and I had a fridge. And that's all you need to cook because I'd go buy those bag things of pasta and chicken and all that, and I'd put it all in the bag and put water in it, put the whole thing in there, and it pops out like 5 minutes later, and I have a massive meal that I can always finish because I'm a big dude. But you can cook in your truck. There's all sorts of shit you can make in a microwave. Or buy a flat top. Or strap a little barbecue grill to the back of your truck and take it out and actually cook some damn food. You don't need to eat. You'd be a lot more healthy if you don't eat fast food all the time. So I'm hoping you're joking. I'm going to plug this up there too. I'm hoping you're joking. You can definitely cook meals in your truck. Would that be helpful if I find little things? Because all you guys could go to Walmart and buy some little like tabletop grill. Or, you know, I used to have one in my, that's what we used to have. And then we bought a little charcoal grill. And then we had a bigger one. Or even better, Coleman makes those little camper propane stoves and frying pans and all that stuff. You use them when you're camping. You guys could easily get one of those and just cook right on the side of your truck. If you can find parking, if you just stay out of Pennsylvania because you're not allowed to park anywhere, it seems. But you guys can cook meals and you're going to be a lot more healthy. You know, you'll be a lot more healthy than going and eating the delicious McDonald's burgers. I seriously am going to have McDonald's tomorrow. I'll take a picture. But James Grider said, I haven't got one call on my used car warranty. I've seen that. I've seen that joke floating around social media. So that's about it, guys. All right, let's see. John Shermack is demanding that all truck stops remain open. Well, no, they're not demanding. They're requesting, and we already talked about this in the morning. So, or we talked about this earlier today in the show. But they're requesting that all truck stops remain open for 24 hours in support of the American truck drivers. Don't leave that out. Because it's very important because they're giving, I mean, to me, that was an administrator. That was a government official who said, listen, I understand trucks are needed and you guys need to speaking to truck stops, you guys need to understand it's needed. So you tell your members with the North American Truck Stop Association, whatever they are, you tell your members they have to stay open, that the FMCSA expects them to stay open. Because you know what happens? If they close, they will be reopened by the government. I can almost guarantee that, because trucks cannot stop. They cannot stop. But yeah, that I put an article out on that, John Chermack. I put an article on my website, freightbrokeralive.com. Andrew, yes, you can ask whatever. I'll answer that in a question. And Nick Ray said, I found a Blackstone griddle top, fits right in my passenger's side step box perfectly. That's it. I mean, it's super easy to cook too. Plus, you're going to eat a lot better food if you can cook. I can't really cook anymore. I used to be able to cook a lot. But Andrew Faith said, newer to the live show and just tuned in, are we allowed to ask anything? Would love to get your opinion. What you think, there will be a purge of 3PLs brokers because of the hysteria? Absolutely. Do I think there's going to be a purge of them? No, I think there's going to be mass layoffs. You know, once manufacturing comes down, all these people that have the privilege of working from home, that work for these big brokers, that are no longer being productive because there's no freight to move, even if it's temporarily, they are going to get cut. A company can't lose that much money and stay profitable. If they do, then they would lose, or if they are fine with losing a bunch of money because they've accounted for it, then that's one thing. The government could come out tomorrow and say, listen, we're going to subsidize all of your employees and put a hiring firing freeze. Who knows? You know, but they're not going to do that. But it would be interesting if they did that and said, listen, you're not allowed to hire or fire anyone. We're going to cover everyone's salary, whether they're pointless or not. I worked for a company once when I was selling cars. When we first found out we were going to have a kid, I had to quit doing what I loved doing because I didn't make enough money. And I went and sold cars because I'm a natural salesperson, because everyone likes me. And not really. I was just, I think people are scared. I was like, hey, you want to buy this car? And they're like, yeah. And so I'd sell them the car. Anyway, the company that I was working for ended up coming under some investigation. Apparently the owner of the company, the owner of the major Toyota dealership, was stealing money, and he was taking money from the company and donating the money. But the problem is, it wasn't his money to donate. Big investigation. They put a hiring firing freeze on, and it sucked because I wanted so hard to get out of that damn job. I ended up quitting eventually, which is one of the few jobs I've ever quit in my life. Actually, I've quit quite a few. I've never been fired. I've been laid off, but never fired. Only laid off from one job. Anyway, but yeah, I've quit a couple. If it doesn't work for me, I'm out usually. And this one I liked. I was good at selling cars, but I had to sit in South Florida, and I was wearing a button down because you couldn't wear a short sleeve, you know, shirt, button down with a tie every day. And you had to sit outside and wait for people to come in and buy cars. And you'd be like, hey, you want to buy one of these shitty Toyotas? And that's what I would do all day long. And I was good at it too. Anyway, Andrew Faye said, how can I support the show? My team and I have learned a bunch from your videos and would love to support in any way. Well, you could do two things. One, if you really feel like supporting the show, you can go to the website, and pretty much on every single page, you'll see right here. Boom, let me put it up. See this right here? Well, right here where my mouse is going around. You can click that and donate to the show. It's not tax deductible. It doesn't do anything like that. The only thing it does, it goes strictly to me. It helps me keep providing all this the journalistic crap that I do. I think it's also on the bottom of every single page on freightbrokerlive.com. And you can go and just donate whatever. It's not really a donation. It's just going right to my pocket, but it's a way of saying thank you. I used to have a store. I took off the store because I didn't want it. And all that stuff. But yeah. So you could do that. Make sure you check out the site, freightbrokerlive.com. I spend a lot of time on it. I like it. I really care about, if you can't tell, I care a lot about trucking. I care a lot about the industry. You know, the North American Association of Transportation Service Providers, whatever I name that organization, I don't even know how it's going to be set up. I know it's got to be membership based because that's how you get anything done in Washington, because of lobbying and all that stuff. But someone needs to do it. We need a voice. I need a voice. And I need, unfortunately, I've reached out to quite a few people to have to be that voice. And unless I'm going to run for Senate or something, then this is the closest I'm going to be able to dictate and to really show what I mean and what I feel about logistics. I love this damn industry. I love trucking. And I love all you guys for being out and trucking. And it's sad when shit like this happens. And it's sad that people take advantage of truck drivers, meaning brokers and insurance companies and factoring companies. It's bad people take advantage of insurance companies by committing fraud. And it's bad that people take advantage of factoring companies by ripping them off and sending bogus bills to lading. Same thing with brokers. It's bad that people think they can get away with it. And I want to do my part to let people know that, hey, we are a voice. We could stand together and we don't need to flip the middle finger and act like a bunch of babies. We can actually accomplish something the right way while being kind of aggressive. There's a God, I don't know what it is. I'm going to double check right now. I wanted to play it, but I didn't. Hold on. There's a song that got me all fired up right before I was listening to this, but I forgot what the title was. Hold on, guys. Here, you know what? Check this out.
I'm simply the best, better than all the rest, yeah, better than anyone. I'm the best.
What's a singing goat have to do with factoring? Nothing. OTR Capital. Better than the rest.
All right.
I'm simply the best.
No, I didn't mean to play it again. All right, so that's a commercial. So I think to end this one, here's a song. It's by one of my favorite bands, and it's tattooed on me. And I actually hadn't heard it in a really long time. And then I heard it again right before I made this, and it really... It's a really good video. So I'm going to get a copyright strike and all that stuff probably, and I'll demonetize this video, and I'm perfectly okay with it because it's good. This band is called Dropkick Murphys. If you don't like loud music, you're not going to like this. But this song is called Blood. Listen to the words. Listen to how it makes you feel, and then you'll understand why trucking rocks, or at least my mindset in terms of trucking when it comes to this. Listen to the song. Guys, have fun. I'll see you tomorrow night, most likely. Bye.